Latinos Out Loud Podcast.
Yo, 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 wiggle, wiggle, Garden State, what's up, Dirty Jurs? Let's go. Yes, it's your girl, Rachel La Loca. This is the Latinos Out Loud Podcast, LOL if you like acronyms like me. This is the GSFF, Garden State Film Festival. Yeah, you should Google it right now. I'll wait. Okay, there. You see what I'm talking about? There is action here. There are filmmakers. There are celebrities. Oh my God, you guys, I have to tell you a quick story. So I'll get to that in a second. But there is such a vibe here. The creativity is flowing. I love being surrounded by filmmakers. I mean, I have covered so many film festivals at this point, but like, this is my first time here at GSFF. And I have to say, it's electric. It's awesome. We're here in Asbury Park, Seaside Heights, you know, the boardwalk. And it is an empire here, Boardwalk Empire. So last night, we were at the opening night, the premiere, and I see Armand Asante. You guys know Armand Asante. He told me he's been acting since 1977. Go ahead, look him up if you don't, if you're like under a rock somewhere. I interviewed this man at the New York Latino Film Festival 15 years ago, and you know me. You know my style by now. I went through my phone, I pulled up the picture from us 15 years ago, and I, you know, got him. I was like, Armand, and then I showed him the picture. He's like, oh my goodness. He couldn't believe it, and then we started talking. So shout out to Armand Asante. He gave me the digits. Like, I got the digits. Like, we're on that level at this point. No, not like that. But, you know, I want to build with this man. He's a creative genius, and it's just so nice to see that he's still actively in this community, active in the community and supporting filmmakers. Okay. So why are we here? Great question. So when I heard about the Garden State Film Festival, I was like, we got to elevate voices. We got to find out who are the Latinos in this film festival. Who are the Latino creatives that are moving us forward? Because that's what this podcast does. You know the mantra, moving Latinos forward while making them laugh. Yes. So that's why I'm here. So the executive director of the film festival, shout out to Lauren. Thank you, Lauren, El Boogie. She sent out an email to everybody. I didn't even know she was going to do this. Unbeknownst to me, she sent out a blanket email to everyone involved and was like, if you're Latino and you're interested in being on the Latinos Out Loud podcast, here's Rachel's information. So that said, I had five filmmakers reach out to me, which, hey, the numbers really, you know what I'm saying? We outside, but we gotta like really be outside. So I hope that inspires you. But they reached out to me, and so I'm gonna be interviewing them for this very special GSFF episode of LOL. Told you I'm into acronyms. So I have my first filmmaker up to bat is Giancarlo Fernandez from the film New Jersey Hollywood, and we're gonna talk to him right now. Hi, Giancarlo, welcome to my hotel room. So it is so nice to have you here. First of all, thank you for responding to that email that Lauren sent out. Giancarlo Fernandez is the writer, director, and he stars in New Jersey Hollywood.
Hollywood, New Jersey.
Oh my God, Hollywood, New Jersey. That was so my mom to get it like backwards.
That's just Spanish thing.
It's a Spanish thing. Hollywood, New Jersey. Okay, tell the LOLeros about Hollywood, New Jersey. It's a short film, 29 minutes. Okay, I'm going to shut up. You tell them about the film.
So Hollywood, New Jersey is, we're in a pilot category. So we wanted to do some sort of just keep creative, right? You want us to be creative. So we had a bunch of skits we were making about filmmakers who never got anywhere because all they did was critique other filmmakers. And we thought, well, why not try to make a pilot? But there's no money involved. You know, it's very difficult to make things like that. So then we said, let's do a pilot for a pilot, which is just test footage. And we were able to film enough test footage to put a pilot together. So we submitted in the pilot category. And for us, it was how do we make people laugh? How do we talk a little bit about, you know, myself being Latino and always being told that I should be rolling my R's to make it in this industry? And I don't want to be very heavy-handed, but like, I know your comedy and how you infuse levity into things, and that brings awareness to so many things, right? So that's what we did. We took something where we're like, let's talk about, you know, possibly taking advantage of my culture while also talking about the endless cycle of being in film festivals year after year and never really elevating out of them because you like the idea of rubbing elbows with people at film festivals and being like, this is awesome, I'm celebrated, maybe I won an award, but on Monday we all got to go back to fucking work.
Oh, is that a thing?
That's a thing.
This is enlightening to me, you guys. So, like, there's this, like, vortex that you can get stuck in, this film festival vortex?
I believe so. Yeah. I mean, I've seen the same people for, like, a decade now. And there are people that I would say elevate or make it or do something. But I feel like it's a subculture. It's a thing where like everybody knows each other. So, wow. And it's continuous.
So what's your goal with Hollywood, New Jersey?
Well, now that we put it together, and I know that it's a little bit or a lot unrefined, and because the intention was to be make a pilot for the pilot, we see it now clearly. We're like, all right, we know how to gut it and make it something that has a clear through line, and it's not just us pouring our guts over everything. And hopefully we can make a series out of it with a budget.
Yeah.
Our process was...
You listening?
Our process was, are you free for 2 hours? When? Tonight? That was a process doing okay. This, you know? So we want to be able to do things planned out.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the trailer. I thought it was really funny. Like, the whole pitch process. It's so hard for us creatives. It's like, what if Hitler was your grandfather? Yeah. That would really hit me. My dad is Jewish. And I was like, oh, snap. Wait, that'd be really messed up.
The ball dropped in the trailer right there when we did the trailer at the night, right? But the thing is that there's so many filmmakers in here, and everybody's kind of like a filmmaker now. Everybody has a camera,
yeah.
But nobody likes to refine their skills. So I said, why don't we show what it's like when people with separate ideas who don't have completed ideas just pitch stories. They're just going to these places. And these meetings happen all the time in New Jersey, too. You go up there and you go, I got an idea for a movie about a frog. And everybody's like, uh-huh. It's like, yeah, who wants to help me with it? But what if people got together to make something larger, something bigger? So because we're here kind of stuck in the cycle, we can't break into Hollywood. So why don't we bring Hollywood to New Jersey?
I love that you said that. That's a great segue. I love segues. So last night at the opening night of this film festival, we heard from the mayor of Clinton, New Jersey, who was really talking about like New Jersey becoming this hub for Hollywood. Yeah. You are a New Jerseyan. I am not. So talk to me a little bit about that. Like, is this going to be the secondary Hollywood? What are productions looking like in this Garden State?
I believe so. I mean, it started all here, like in Fort Lee, right? And people moved away because of the winters.
Wait, tell the LOLeros, because I learned this last night. What do you mean by it started here? This is fascinating, you guys. Get your pens and write this down.
I'm going to give you the truncated version, but essentially filmmaking started here. And because of the cold winters, they didn't stay here. It's like we got to go out west in terms of like we need to film all year round. We can't take breaks, you know. And just like people went mining for gold out west, they went mining for stars as well and creating.
Oh,
so
snaps.
And now in this modern age, because of tax credits, because of being close to the city, trying to mix media, and because of the way social media is like, everything's coming back here. So there's just a lot going on in the state, whether it's TV shows, films, short films, and again, everybody's a filmmaker, everybody's trying to make stuff.
Yeah.
So it's definitely growing at a rate that, you know, like I haven't experienced since living here.
And am I correct in saying, was it Thomas Edison that had like created the first camera in New Jersey?
I'm going to lean on you and say yes.
Wait, I'm not the smartest girl in the game, but I think that's what I heard. And so that
a version,
is
yeah.
amazing. Yeah. Who knew? Dirty Jersey. This is crazy. So, I mean, I love that because we're seeing these like studios pop up and like, you know, there's like Lionsgate now in Yonkers. And
yeah, Netflix is be up in Fort Lee, I believe, or Monmouth or something like that. Like
yeah.
Netflix is opening. Apparently Hulu's opening a studio too.
So, yeah, although like Yonkers is not New Jersey, I just like this East Coast, this rush. Like we out here. It's not just about the people on the West Coast. There's tons of talent here. Tons of Latino talent too. Like the Caribbean, Caribeño. Where's your family from, by the way?
So my parents are from Honduras and like my grandfather was from Spain. So we have a little mixture of there. So that's like, where are you, Latino, Spanish, Hispanic, Latinx? And I'm like, sure, all of them.
A smorgasbord.
Yeah, exactly.
And tell us about your experience. When did you start filmmaking?
As a little kid, my mom worked a lot. So like she, you know, we'd go to work at night. She bought a camera and we would just rent movies. We had a movie card.
Like thing, a like camera? Like the camcorder?
Big
oh,
VHS
my gosh.
Camera.
Yes.
And so we had like a Palmer Video rental movie card thing and a camera. So me and my sister must have watched like Psycho like 100 times, and because we could rent whatever we want. So
yeah.
We watched Psycho, we'd watch the Rocky movies, we'd watch anything we could get our hands on. And then we would make small things with our cousins when we saw them. And it became a thing where my father named me Giancarlo but he's going to hate me this for I say this, but apparently he was probably high on peyote in like the 70s, and the name Giancarlo Giannini came out from the credits, and he's like, if I ever have a son, I'm going to name him Giancarlo, and he's going to be an actor.
I love that so much.
Yeah, so, I mean, and it just kind of grew on me, and I was like, how do I get into film school? And eventually I found my way there, and we made a feature film in 2015, a $4,100 feature film.
Okay.
Took 37 days over 6 months to complete.
Wow.
Then we were the official selection and the audience award at the Rahway International Film Festival.
Hello.
That then became the Westfield International Film Festival. Shout out to Gina Marie Rodriguez, who runs all that.
Okay.
Latina. And
I hear the Rodriguez, and I'm going to roll my R's.
And that gave us careers, as opposed to going, we're going to make another movie. Like, oh, you guys know how to manage budgets, commercials, music videos, like all this stuff. So I've been fortunate and blessed enough to have a crew of like five guys to continuously work with,
so great,
make money with, build a career. But now this year, because we did this, now we want to make another film.
And great segue, because we were talking a little before about budget. Can we talk about budget with Hollywood, New Jersey? Tell us.
Zero.
Say what now?
Zero.
Say what now?
Zero.
You made a film on $0.
So now,
did you pay in blood, or did you donate a kidney, or
out of our own
OnlyFans?
We should have did OnlyFans. I have nice feet.
I'm not knocking that. You know what I'm saying? You have nice feet.
I do.
Boo. I mean, we could talk offline. Yeah.
We fed crew, you know, and we asked for their time and said, and gave like just limited blocks. Like, these are the blocks we're gonna need you for. If you can make it, cool. If you can't, and when it didn't work out, we just had to adjust on the fly.
Okay.
Right? It's like, okay, the scene needs to change, the shot needs to change, the idea needs to change. Because it's like the movie you think of, the movie you write, the movie you shoot, the movie you edit. Ultimately, the movie that you all feel comfortable with. So it changes constantly.
I love that. That's such a common thread I hear with throughout all of these interviews that I've done with filmmakers. I always hear an iteration of that statement. And that's so moving to me. I'm the type of person that, like, I'm locked and loaded. You know, like, I know my guest that's going to be on the show. I have the questions that I'm going to ask that guest. Like, I'll deviate. I'll modulate. I'm like a chameleon when it comes to, like, you know, formulating the best show possible. But that takes a certain kind of brain. Okay, so now we're talking to all the Eloeleros who are either aspiring filmmakers or who are out there like thinking to themselves, oh, I have an idea for a film and Giancarlo did it with zero budget. How do I? So what's some advice that you have for these filmmakers that are listening and watching right now?
I think the biggest thing is just get it on the page. If there's a story on the page, you can do it.
Yeah.
In terms of equipment and lighting and all that stuff, that's aesthetic choices. Those are things you can learn. But writing, telling a story, I think that's a skill you really have to build over time with collaborators, with feedback, having thick skin. You know, you can't be sensitive with people telling you, like, that's not funny or I don't vibe with it.
Right.
You have to find a way to make them vibe with it. So how do you touch multiple heartstrings on, you know, different levels of backgrounds and all that stuff? Because a joke that's funny to us might not be funny to him or him. Or,
oh, yeah, you know, trust me, I hear it. Yeah, I don't get upset. I just go home, cry, and eat the whole thing of Oreos. That's my suggestion. Okay.
But get it on the page. Yeah, write it down and just work it out. You want everything to have an arc, a story, a journey.
A journey.
Because then we feel that. That's a visceral thing.
Thank you for sharing a little snippet of your journey with us. Maybe you can tell the Eloeleros how they can see the trailer and how they can follow you.
Sure.
I know the film is under wraps because it's in the festival circuit.
Right.
After GSFF, where are you headed?
We're currently seeing if we are getting into the New York Latino Film Festival.
Whoop, whoop.
So we'll see for that. And then there's a couple other ones that just we're waiting to hear.
So great. So please share your handles and how people can see the trailer of Hollywood, New Jersey.
Sure. So I've a production company called Gorilla Ocho Films, films that make you go apeshit. And you'll find Gorilla Ocho Films on Instagram, online, all the handles and stuff. And if you want like a personal one, mine is Plot Twist, I'm Him.
Ooh, I love it. Giancarlo, thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you for your comedy. And I just have to say that because I had it in my mind, I always think about like, what is it? Room 28 Comedy.
Oh my God.
La Loca. Con Ariana. That shit's been stuck in my head.
Are you serious? You know about Room 28?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to extend the interview real quick. Hold on a second. What you know about Room 28? Shout out to Ariana Rodriguez.
I love skits to comedy and stuff like that. So,
thank
like, when
you.
When I, like, I don't know, it was like a year ago. Someone had sent me that exact one. And they were like, dude, because the voices, right? Like, for me, it's like lean into the voices and the stereotypes.
Was it, oh, you think I'm stupid? Was it that sketch? Oh, you think I'm stupid?
That was probably the first one. And then there was the Hidden Figures one.
Oh, the Hidden Figures! Oh, my God! I'm going to probably peak from my excitement on the airwaves.
But I love the idea of leaning into, like, the stereotype of, like, accent. And stuff like that, just because we're afraid of them. And then for me, it's always been like I have my kids look like Aryan kids, like they were, because my wife is, you know, just a gorgeous creature. And for me, it's always been like I infiltrated because people thought I was white.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now my kids look like me, but the sazon on them is blonde hair, blue eyes.
Okay.
All right. So they're really going to infiltrate.
Okay. Right?
But yes. I make jokes about like the accent and all that. And I just find it like when I see that, you know, like watching when I was little, John Leguizamo's Freak. Like to me, I was like, that's, I have stories like that. I want to tell stories like that.
He's one of my inspirations. Yeah. I had the pleasure of like being in the same room as him a few times.
That's amazing. Never met him, but.
But like, yeah, I lean into those tropes because we can.
Right.
And they exist.
Exactly.
And I'm not racist, okay? Like, I want to lean into that because I know it's going to resonate. People are going to relate. Oh, I got a tia that sounds just like that. My mother sounds just like that. My sister, my cousin, my brother, my mailman, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
So why can't we go there?
Right.
We're not poking fun. We're not bringing our people backwards. I elevate in everything that I do. Everything has purpose. Like, I'm never just going to do something to pimp our people out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if it's going to make them laugh and educate at the same time, hell yeah, sign me up. Yeah. Wow. Thank you for that shout out. I miss
welcome.
Room 28. We did so much. I mean, I hear from other sketch comedians that are on the come up like, yo, I seen that sketch Hidden Figures or Papa Land. Did you see Papa Land?
Yeah.
We did this spoof of like Oscar nominees one year. So it was Hidden Figures based on the creation of the Faja. So this woman was putting the numbers together. I played her and like, you know, just doing the math.
Latinas are curvy since this time. Yeah,
how to get shapewear.
And I know about the Faja because my mom, right? Like my mom would be like, I got to get a new Faja.
We walk around the house. I see my great grandmother. I'll never forget when I was little. I was like, why is great grandma walking around with the shirt underneath the Faja though? That was like what I couldn't understand. But hey, sometimes you gotta faja it up while you're, you know, making plátano maduro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the grandkids in the living room.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. Yo, I ain't gonna lie, I got one of my own, right? Sometimes I gotta faja it up too. It's probably TMI, but yeah, you girls sometimes need to, if I'm not gonna go to the gym, I do a little faja action. Thank you so much for that shout out. It really
tickles me. Of course. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for doing what you're doing. Seguimos pa'lante.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Pa'lante. Shout out to my sister, Ginger. I didn't give her a shout out last night, so.
Hi, Ginger. Thank you so much, Giancarlo.
Thank you.
Wishing you the very best.
I appreciate this. This is awesome. I want to continue, you know, watching, supporting you. And
thank you.
The one I saw recently, just when you did the thing with Chicle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that shit, that was dying. I sent that to all my peoples because I was like, you know, I've been following him for years, too. So I was like, that shit was funny.
He is so funny. Mr. Blue Chew himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Chicle and Maleni. Shout out to Chicle and Maleni. It was a great episode. Shout out to Tragos, my sponsor. We played that game of Tragos with Chicle.
That's
and,
all.
Like, instead of drinking, he had to eat chicles. We can go on and on. You'll have to come back to the show for, like, a full-on, full-body
So are you out?
Episode.
You're on the West Coast?
No, I mean, I'm going there on Monday, but
okay.
No, I live in New York City.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Upper East Side representing, moving on up. Yeah. It's not that big of an apartment. I'm not moving on up. No, it's not. It's actually really small. I moved on down to the Upper East Side. Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. Hello, Eleros. We're going to keep this thing moving. We're moving fast here at the Garden State Film Festival. So we just spoke to Giancarlo Fernandez of Hollywood, New Jersey. And now we have one of his actors, Steve Bogosian, is here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. It's so exciting to be here,
oh,
isn't
great
it?
Great to meet you as well. Yeah. This and you and as well as this festival's been great. So.
Oh,
yeah,
I mean, little old me, please. I mean, I'm just, you know, the host of Latinos Out Loud, two-time Webby Award nominated single bronze winner. But no.
Say it again.
Sure. Two-time Webby Award nominated for Best Comedy in 2021 and 2023, and also the bronze winner of Best Comedy Signal Award. Kevin Hart took home the gold, but you know what I mean. Okay, wait, this isn't about me.
No, it's important. I'm glad you got it twice. It's
great. Steve!
How are you?
I'm great. I'm freaking great. Like, pumped to just be surrounded by all this creativity and genius. Tell us about your role in Hollywood, New Jersey. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
in my head,
right.
I'm like, wait, no.
You can flip it if you
backwards.
Want, but yeah. my role. It's a great little scene. I'm just in one scene. I got a phone call, God, I want to say a year and a half ago, and Giancarlo Fernandez just called me up, and he said, we're doing this pilot, and I have a scene that I want you and I to be in. And I right away jumped on it because we've been trying to figure out how to get both of us on the same side of the camera. Aww. For a while now. We've done a few projects together before. We did 20-minute epic back in, what, 2015, 2016 around. A few other little cameo roles that he's done that I've done in his projects, and then finally got to do a scene together.
And so you're one of the guys in the film that tells him not to do what he wants to do, right?
Like, well, it's literally the basically the inception of him thinking to bring a studio to New Jersey. I'm basically sitting there trying to convince him to come out to Los Angeles, which is in the story is where I am, and he just comes up with this idea out of nowhere to just start it in New Jersey.
That's so significant, yeah. And it's sort of meta because we're like seeing
starting
that
in New Jersey,
in real life.
Yeah.
Well, so are you? You're based here on the East Coast.
I was born, raised, and lived for 30-something years in New Jersey.
Okay.
And then I'm now traveling between New York and New Jersey, just wherever the work is, I am. So I'm on both sides.
I hear that. Snaps to that. We travel, right?
All the time.
I'll work for food. I'll work for anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about your acting experience. Like, what are some of the things that you've worked on, and why do you love acting?
Oh, please. I mean, I started acting many, many years. I actually started while I was in college for being an animator.
Oh, cool.
I had a teacher who was very influential to me, and he basically told me, he says, if you can't move yourself and say things how you want to say them, how are you going to move your characters? So, ooh. Yeah.
We're getting deep here.
A mind meld, right?
Getting deep here.
So, I was in Philadelphia, and I basically started to, what we'll call it, auditing. I used to sneak into acting classes and watch. And I picked it up there, did a couple scenes down there that the instructor's like, you might want to think about doing this.
Love that.
I said, sure. And got the acting bug immediately, started taking class at Rutgers, various other places. And I basically was doing, extra work for a little while back.
Gotta earn your stripes.
Let's play this game. Yeah.
What is like the worst background gig you've ever done? I'll share mine.
Go ahead.
No, me first?
Yeah, please.
Okay. It was NBC, Law & Order SVU.
Mm-hmm.
And I was background during one of the protest scenes.
Yeah.
And it was so freaking cold. Oh my God. And it was, of course, an exterior shoot. And we just had to keep marching to the front of the, like, where the picket line was. Yep. And it was like, all right, reset. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yep.
I was like, what am I doing here? They gave out hand warmers. So I took all these hand warmers. Like, when nobody was looking, I went in the box and I was like, and I lined my entire body with them. They were under my tetas. They were in my shoes. And I had to activate them. So I just started jumping up and down to get them activated.
Yep.
And that's kind of how I kept semi-warm. But that was like the worst.
My worst was actually on a film in 2004, maybe? I don't remember the year, honestly. It was a movie called The Siege. And it was an extra spot where I had to drive my car into a traffic jam.
Oh, dang. They need to drive you.
This was going to be great. I get to use my own car, get to be in an air conditioner the whole time. No. It was in the middle of summer, 100-degree heat. And we sat there.
And no air conditioner because of sound.
Correct.
Oh, my gosh.
And now we're sitting there for, 11 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Just sitting in the car doing nothing. Just literally be
sweating.
Like...
sweating. You must have lost mad weight.
I wish.
Yo, well, you must have smelled like funk at the end of that shoot.
Nobody should have been around me for days.
Oh, my God.
It was just like that. Yeah, no.
Yeah. But, it's just, like, I'm glad I did that.
I have
an appreciation. Ice-T was on set. The man who's had the longest TV career, I think he set the Guinness Book of World Record for it. Mariska Hargitay, I'm absorbing, like a sponge. I'm like, I want to be like her,
Absolutely.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, those protest scenes are hard.
Oh, they're crazy. And then from there, 2015, I just started doing more editing stuff again. And I was editing for many different companies over the time. I was working for another company full time. And then I said, this is stupid. I've always wanted to do acting. I make enough money on the side that I can go do acting primarily, or at least try to. And then 2015, I left my last job and been basically editing and acting ever since. I got the privilege of being shows like Law & Order SVU.
Nice.
The Deuce, FBI, most recently, City on a Hill. So yeah, it's
so
it's
we can see you on these shows.
Oh yeah,
so little. Great.
Well, don't blink, you'll miss me. But yeah, I get lines in real titles, so it's fun. But yeah, it's a blast. But yeah, I'm very appreciative for the opportunities I've got for them so far.
That's a blessing. Yeah. It's so nice to have met you.
You
I can't
too.
Wait to like follow your career. Speaking
Thank
of
you.
That, tell the Eloeleros how they can follow you on social media.
Oh sure, it's my full name. SteveBogosian.com is the website, but also at Steve Bogosian on Instagram. And yeah, please check it out. My reel's there, my contact information's there, and well, I guess I should mention my agent's info's there too. But
if you'd like to, go ahead.
Yeah.
All right. Well, shout out to the agents, the secret ones and the acting ones.
Yes.
Thank you so much for stopping
thank
by.
Thank you. This was a great
this
meeting.
This is so great.
Take care.
Good luck to you. Eloeleros, I told you this is going to be nonstop action, literally lights, camera, action. Okay. Our next filmmaker here at the Garden State Film Festival is none other than Eddie Antonio Castro Jr. You saw him make an appearance on Latinos Out Loud when we were talking about Mangú Aquí 2, where he was associate producer and played the bodeguero role in the film. But now we're going to talk to him about his own film, which is in its 7th festival at this point, soon to be 8th, which you just heard about another acceptance, which we should talk about. We're all about celebrating here. Celebrate good film. Come on. Yeah. So Eddie is the writer, director, and also stars in Shots, which is an amazing short film that is being screened here at the Garden State Film Festival. Please tell the Eloeleros a little bit about Shots.
Hi, well, thanks for having me on. Thank you so much. Yeah, so Shots is the story about a young boy in school who's bullied, gets beaten up every day pretty much, and you know, then he's also got a father at home that's pretty much a bully as well. He's the biggest bully in his life.
Mm.
And his father's a cop.
Played by Kervin Peralta.
Right.
Shout out to puppeteer Kervin Peralta.
Right. Mutual friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, things go the wrong way, I guess you could say. Spoiler alert. The kid is... I don't know. He gets to a point where he decides he's got to take his father's gun to school one day.
Mm. But that's a spoiler, but not a spoiler, because I've seen the film 3 times now, and like, it's not what you think. You're just going to have to see the film, okay? That's all I'm going to say.
Right.
Yeah, there is a gun involved, but like, I love how you just manipulate our minds. You have us thinking one thing, and then something Whoa. Completely different happens. You yeah. filmmaker, you.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you know, I've gotten that a lot where people go, oh my God, and then, oh, you know. So in the end, I mean, I'm not that kind of guy, but again, I don't want to spoil things, but it is about you know, finding who you are mm-hmm. and your identity and self-respect, and you know, you make these choices in life, and for this character it's very early in life, and it's going to set him on a path. He could have made this decision yeah. and gone down a completely separate path, but you know, you've got to at some point come to the decision, or come to realize that you are your own person, and find that identity, find out who you are and not who someone else wants you to be.
I think it's so amazing when films get us thinking that way. You know, we're watching a film about a little boy and bullying, but we leave the theater feeling something that, well, feeling that, but then also something so different. Like, yeah. I love films that really give you that self-reflection moment of like, I'm in a way like little Antonio, you know? Like, I had to overcome so much in life where I had to put my foot down and develop tactics on how to overcome, which is what he does in the film.
Right. And it's universal in a way, because everyone's had that issue at some point. Maybe not necessarily bullying. I mean,
right.
I think everyone's had some kind of bullies in their life. But, you know, in this case, he's got the bully, like I said, at school and at home. But there's always some sort of, you know, adverse situation that you come across. Something that's going to be a challenging moment, whether it is bullying or, you know, trying to get into different schools or whatever it is, you know, you're on your basketball team, whatever it is, you've got to overcome.
Yeah.
And so are you going to meet that challenge or not?
Right.
You know?
And how? Like, are you going to go the dirty way? The devious way?
Right.
The way that, like, God is going to be like, I don't know, we're at the pearly gates and I got to make a decision and it's not looking good for you. Or are you going to make the decision that's going to elevate your soul, your life, get you closer to the pearly gates, like, when it's time and have you enter, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been asking the filmmakers about their budgets.
Oh, God.
Can you share with us the budget for shots?
Yeah, sure. Actually, it's overall, after everything, about $27,000.
Jesus! So.
Yeah.
Jesus! Ho! Ho!
Yeah.
Ho!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hurting you.
I can imagine. You're my hero. How did you fundraise? How did you go about getting $27,000 for this film?
It's very, very tough. It's probably the hardest thing to do if you're a filmmaker. Mm. You know, you can write the best films, you can direct, act, everything top notch. You can have the best equipment, but if you don't have the funds or the resources to pay crew, to rent the equipment,
it's important to pay crew,
to get the locations rented out, on and on and on, insurance, you know, things like that. Yeah, there's so much that goes into it, you know. But yeah, I just had to cobble together what I could, you know. Loan here, 401k here, crowdfunding, you know, that helped out big time. So, you know, when you're at this stage, you kind of lean on the people closest to you.
Yeah.
You know, and if they really believe in you, then, you know, they'll help you out in some kind of way.
That must feel so good when the believers show their belief, right? Like, here's $500. Go go buy yourself a lens.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but no, it's, you know, like I said, if people really, really believe in you, and I feel like I had a lot of support, you know, and people just knew who I was and knew the passion I had for telling stories and for making movies. And so they really wanted the help and maybe get their name in the credits too.
I mean, that's kind of nice too. You know what I mean? It's nice little associate producer cred, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay. I've noticed with your film, like, you and I may be going out on a limb here, but you have a very precise style. There are certain shots, pun intended. There are certain shots within shots that I feel like are your voice, like, so you like these suspense, like these shots of, like, you know, we see Antonio underneath and trying to get past the bullies with the bullies on top. Like, I know every director has, like, their style. Would you say that that's becoming your style, these, like, very suspense instilling shots? Or, like, can you comment on your storyboarding or, like, you know, how you went into this film with those strategic shots in shots? I could do this all day.
You know, it's, I guess directing, you can take so many different paths, whether you focus on acting or it's the writing or the lighting, framing, composition, whatever, you know. I like all of it, you know. But, yeah, there's something about framing something, framing the shot just so, you know. Like, this is a visual medium. It is written, but you're not reading it, you know, you're watching it on screen. So how can you relay the kind of emotion or conflict visually?
Right.
So like you said, that moment where, you know, like young Daniel is trying to sneak past the bullies and the bullies are up here and he's trying to sneak below, you know, they're on top of him. Like, you understand that visually.
Yes.
And there are other moments too where the father or even the teacher, when you see Antonio, he's smaller in the frame and they're gigantic to the point where I had the frame just, you know, I had them cut off. So they're dominating over him so much so that you don't even see their faces. They're just hovering over on top
of
him. Powerful. Yeah.
So is that like your style? Like, are you leaning into that? Like, maybe moving forward with future projects, or is maybe there a project you're working on where you're already envisioning those kinds of shots again?
Yeah, definitely. Because I don't want to just throw something on and you know, do the typical shot, reverse shot, or just get a wide and a master. Like, I want to think about, like, what it is that I want to say visually, you know? And there's so many ways. Now, sometimes you just want to do something quick because you just need something quick because of dialogue or whatever the case is. But even dialogue, you can do so many things. You can do a slow push when you reveal, like, a secret, you know? or if someone's like, say, like a breakup scene, and you just like slowly zoom out and you start to see like, you know, widening out.
Like the emotion conveyed via the shot. Yeah. That is fascinating.
Otherwise, what are we doing? Otherwise, I'll just write it, you know?
Right. That's so cool. Okay, so back to shots. Like, did you stumble upon any challenges during the shooting of shots? And if so, can you share them with us?
There's always a challenge. You know, there's always the moments of like, what am I doing? This is not going to work. You know, I kept putting it off because I wanted to do it in the winter, actually, at first. And, you know, I just didn't want to keep pushing it and pushing it. So I was just like, you know what, we're just going to shoot it. It's going to be in the summer. And actually, it was a big time help because the kids that we had, I mean, they were free for the summer anyway.
There you go.
So
okay.
I was like, you're dirt. Like, I forgot completely. Like, the kids are in school. Like,
can't pull them out of school for this short film.
Right, exactly. So it turned out, it actually turned out great that way. And, you know, the other challenges were, I mean, we were in a school, so we had to find a school.
Mm.
And I asked around, and it's so difficult to do. But eventually, my producer and first AD, Paola Munoz, shout out to Paola.
Paola!
She actually went to a school that was specifically for TV and film. She
went
to a high
go.
School. So she still has some hookups, and actually she's working there now again.
That's so full circle.
Yeah. So we were able to shoot 2 days there in the school and get all of those school shots. And wow. It's you talk about like challenges. My God, everything is a challenge. I mean, so as an example, just real quick, my storyboards had a few shots where Daniel is the POV is from inside a locker.
Oh.
He's got the locker open,
uh-huh.
and he sees the bullies behind him,
oh.
and he closes it, and he walks off. So we were supposed to do that twice. Could not find the locker that was big enough to put the equipment, the camera in there.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, so that was, and this was like, we shot 2 days in the school. The first day we did like some of the classroom stuff, and we were going to do the locker stuff and everything else the next day. Come to find out the last day, we're trying to figure this out, and we're like, it's not going to fit. What are we going to do?
Man.
But I had scouted like a week earlier, and I just made mental notes about, you know, I like this, just in case, you know? And there was this this window looking over into like the skyline, Manhattan, because it's Long Island City.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Right across the river.
Yeah.
So you get to see the skyline of Midtown. And I thought, this is amazing. How can I get this? And so once I figured out that the locker was not going to fit, you know, we couldn't do that. I was like, all right, like on the fly, we're like, all right, let's get this over here instead. All right, we're going to do this shot, boom, right here, frame it up. We're going to get this angle. We're going to have him run. And then my DP, Luis Romero, who's amazing, he figured out how to do this thing where he caught the kid running towards the camera, and then he followed him, and he switched like the the aperture on it, and so like it took it from like a warm to like a blue, or opposite, like a blue to a warmish.
So cool.
And you can feel it because that's the emotion of the kid. He's off somewhere else, and all of a sudden everything changes. So like the light and the color changes too.
I can see the excitement. I can imagine what that excitement was like on set, and that became your movie poster, didn't it?
It became my movie poster. Exactly. Right.
That is so exciting.
You just have to be open to whatever
malleable.
The universe is trying to tell you. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so exciting. All right. Tell the LOLeros how they can see the shots trailer. And also, well, before we get there, you just got accepted into another festival.
Yeah. The Latino Film Market.
Yay. Shout out to Arilin. Latino Film Market. That's in June.
Yeah,
so
you.
Great. That's going to be your eighth.
Yeah.
Your eighth laurel on this
yeah,
film.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody applaud this man. Can we insert applause in post, please?
That's
okay.
Right.
And tell everyone where they can see the trailer and how they can follow you.
Well, the trailer, I have the trailer on my IG page. I am at The Real Yankee Case. All one word, The Real Yankee Case. YANKEECASE.
Awesome. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
I can't wait for your screening.
Yeah, it's oh my God, it's all been so fun. It's been like a whirlwind. We shot it last June, and now it's March, and we're still talking about it. We're still living this thing.
Still going, you know? Energizer
yeah.
Bunny.
That's right.
All right, on to the next one. We got more interviews. All right, LOLeros, I got more treats in the bag.
More treats in the bag. We are still covering the Garden State Film Festival. We've spoken to some really remarkable filmmakers, actors, but one piece of the pie was missing. A very delicious piece, a vital piece, and that's a female representing, whoop, whoop, ovary power. Listen, ovaries before brovaries, you know how it is. Uteruses before deuteruses. I'm all about the female empowerment, and I'm just so excited to introduce another award-winning filmmaker who is part of this amazing festival taking place here in the Garden State. Please welcome Dara Semirad, and she is co-creator of the film A Tree Once Grew Here. And welcome to the Latinos Out Loud.
Thank you so much,
Dara. It's so good to have you. I know you weren't able to attend the festival, but thank you for making the time to be a part of this episode virtually. We are over Zoom and I'm overjoyed. Okay. I want to hear about your involvement in this film. You work with your dad, which is just
I do.
So heartwarming and endearing. I want to hear about this father-daughter dynamic and your involvement in A Tree Once Grew Here.
Everyone always says that. They're like, how do you work with your father? Like, I could never. We just have such a good dynamic. It honestly works so well. So we co-created this project. He came to me with an idea. Said he likes to do stuff that's like prevalent in the world. So this is a story off like climate change. And we also love fantasy. And of course it had to be animation. That's his number one biggie. And he created storyboards and started animating with the help of AI. And I was helping him. I critiqued everything he did. I helped pick out the music, helped the edit. He did all the computer stuff and I basically did everything else.
That is so sweet. This is a very different film. I've watched several films already. I was able to connect with the Latino filmmakers that wanted to be part of the Latinos Out Loud podcast, and I've seen their films. This stood out. I mean, it's really remarkable to see the animation. Explain to me this process, because, and then we'll talk about the film itself a little bit. But like, what is this process? It looked like real movement, like real humans, and then these like fairy women that were also a part of it. Like, how do you get to that point? Please explain it in layman's terms, because I am clueless.
Of course. So he used this, or we use this software. It's called Poser. And Poser is basically all of the movement. So them running, them walking up the steps, even like the fairies just sitting down on the branches or like skipping around, like those are all movements from Poser. And then we would take them and put it into his favorite software called Autodesk Flame. And that's where we would add like everything together, like all of the fairies, like all at once, or like all the three men like walking together. That's where we would combine it. And then we would also use this AI website called Midjourney. And that's where we would create all the backgrounds. You would type in a prompt, like for the fairy world, you would type in like bright colored branches and trees and a forest, and it would pop up like that. And then in the flame, we would take those backgrounds and put them in with all the characters as well. And even like the frog and the butterflies, like we would put that all in as well and composite it all together.
Gosh, it was so beautiful. Like, and there was such a clear distinction between like the mean stick people world. Mm-hmm. And sorry if I'm calling it like the wrong thing. But
No, it's fine.
From my observation. Then like the fairy world, like you felt it was so beautiful. It was enchanting. Mm-hmm. It was the colors, just everything flowed, the music. So now you touch on climate change here. Mm-hmm. What an impactful film. And like what a very important topic for us to cover through art. So explain to me your passion behind climate change. Change, the education and awareness around it, and what this film does for that.
Well, we started as in, like I said, my father wanted to do something that's prevalent in the world, but also kind of like a fantasy reality. So he is a big activist on climate change, and like you see it in the news almost every single day on what's going on in the world. So we wanted to touch upon that. And we just thought like it would. We also wanted to do no dialogue so it could be universal, like everyone could watch it no matter what language you speak. So that was also, we wanted like to show everyone, we didn't want it to just stay like in the United States for film festivals. We wanted the whole world to see it. So, and then climate change came in because we want, again, like we wanted everyone to see it, and we want people to grasp that like our relationship with nature should be a balance, and it should be in harmony, and it should not be overlooked, because if it is overlooked, then this is what's going to happen, and then we can't live together with our world, which is nature.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. And I love that there's no dialogue. We don't really see so many films nowadays in 2024 with no dialogue, but yet with such huge impact. And when I tell you LOLeros are the fan base, okay? Please check out this film. I know it's running a really successful run through the festival circuit. You've got to name a few for me, but I know you were in the Yonkers Film Festival, now Garden State Film Festival. Any others that you want to tout right now that you're proud of being a part of?
I mean, we won like also like over 30 awards at these festivals. I don't know off the
Wow.
top of my head which ones are coming up, but I could definitely let you know, and if you could help promote it, that would be absolutely amazing.
That's what we're here for. Absolutely.
Yeah. But it's been like all over the United States, like in Chicago and Seattle, and it's also been in like South Korea, in Greece, in India. Like it's been almost everywhere.
There's a moment in the film at the end where we see the embracing, right, of like the beautiful world into the not so beautiful world. I'm trying not to give away any spoilers. But that moment was also just like a great way to sort of end and know that, oh, there is hope for humanity. There's hope for humanity if there's just an increased level of awareness and action taken. I think that speaks volumes to what we can do. Tell us, like, what do you want humans to take away from this film?
I mean, I would love for them just to like it, the message is pretty, it's very clear. Like, if we nurture the planet, it'll nourish you back. And we want them to show that, like, we could make this world. We don't have to keep on like having deforestation and buildings everywhere, because it'll become a desert. So, and we want people to realize that if you nourish the planet, it'll look as beautiful as the fairy world.
And I want to be a part of that fairy world. How can I get in there? I mean, these and how did you get the faces to look so female, so feminine, so beautiful? That looks so like, was it a meticulous process? I just feel like you've got to take like an eyedropper and tweezers to get those like details. Tell me a little bit about the detailed work that went into this.
I mean, it used to, like, a couple of years ago, this would have taken a lot longer than it did with the help of AI, because they've just been increasing, like, they've just been crazy, like, how fast they're progressing, this AI. So it was all in Poser. The Poser helped create the faces. And of course, if we wanted to tweak it a little more, we can, but we wanted to keep the fairies like uniform, like slightly different, but like all kind of the same. And yeah, it was honestly like just from Poser. Poser also helped us with the hair simulation and the cloth simulation. It really helped flow it in a way that wasn't so stiff.
Thank you for sharing the tools, because I know, like, you know, the LOLeros are comprised of aspiring filmmakers and writers and entertainers. And I know they're going to be looking all these software and programs up after they hear this. And it's not often that we get people that share the granular, you know, that they share the tools. And Latinos Out Loud, we're a big advocate for that. This is a forum where we elevate one another, where we share the secrets, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, how to be successful, and how to like pass that torch. So tell me a little bit more about you. Did you go to school for filmmaking? And where'd you go to school? How did you get here, in other words?
So my father was always in this industry, and that's where I kind of like fell into it. Like, I would intern with him over the summers. I went to school for strategic communications. So it was kind of like, it was advertising, but it wasn't like, I didn't do any of like Flame. I didn't do any of like the nitty-gritty like animation part. But I knew I wanted to go in more of like an advertising marketing route anyway. And it just kind of worked that like he was looking for a new producer. And I just came fresh out of college, which I graduated during COVID, so I was blessed to have a job when a lot of people didn't. And then I stuck with him through all these years because we have such an amazing dynamic and I really love what I do. I work remotely. Like, of course, we see each other, but I do work remotely, which gives me the freedom to work from wherever. Like, if I'm in Westchester right now or in the city or like even upstate, it really works. And yeah, I
And
love it.
so, yeah, and I was talking to your dad at the Yonkers Film Festival networking get together, and my goodness, his background is also so impressive. Just having worked on Super Bowl ads, and he told me he does a lot of stuff with Pepsi and like, all these things. I'm like, wow, there's just so much talent here. And the fact that you are Latina, so your mom is half Cuban, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Woo-woo! Yes, empanadas in the house. This is so great. She must also be so proud of you guys. Does she also work in the industry as well?
She did. That's actually how they met. But she doesn't anymore.
A
I know.
freaking love story. Okay, I love love. I'm like such a sucker, especially when it's like sweet, endearing stories like this. Your family just sounds like one that really supports one another. And I know we just met each other, but it's just so, it feels so good to see another woman out there doing it, and a Latina who's a go-getter, who's so young, you're in your 20s, and you're producing this high quality and high impact material that has purpose. You're not just doing this for fun. You're not just doing this as a hobby. You've already shifted mindsets with this film, with all the festivals that it's run in. But I just see so much more with this film. Now, speaking of that, if you had a magic wand, where would this film be after the festival run? Have you guys given any thought to it, distribution or like putting it up on YouTube? Or how can people not attending film festivals plan to see this film in the future?
I mean, once the film festival circuit is kind of like run its course, I definitely want to like put it up somewhere. Like we put trailers up, but some festivals, like if it's online to everyone, they don't really let them in.
Right.
So hopefully after we'll put up on YouTube or Vimeo or anywhere that like that we could get viewers. But we got it Oscar qualified. And
Yes.
we tried for this year, but
All
unfortunately we didn't
right.
get shortlisted. But we have other short animated films in the works, and we're hoping to get them up and running, like hopefully by the fall.
That is huge. I'm sorry you weren't shortlisted, but just being Oscar qualified, I know only one other filmmaker in my circle who has a short that was also Oscar qualified. This is a huge task, huge endeavor. It sounds like you're proud of it.
Of
It's something
course.
to really be proud of. I really appreciate your time. I guess my last question to you is, do you have any advice for future female filmmakers? FFF. That's a lot of alliteration, which I love on this show, of acronyms and alliteration. And those are two words that also start with A. Okay, I'm going to stop with all this grammar stuff. I'm such a grammar geek. GG, I can't stop. I can't stop.
You can't.
I just can't. It just it, the dial never goes down. Give me or give the Eloeleras some advice on how to be as successful as you at such a young age. What are some of your tactics? Give them some words of advice.
I would just take every opportunity you can, whether it's like this, like a little interview. Like I would never think like this would be like, oh my God. Like and it's been absolutely incredible. And I'm so happy I met you because my father talked really highly of you as well.
Oh my God, that's so
I
sweet.
know, but just take every opportunity you can. If you're making a film, like just enter it in any film festival you can. Just meet as many people as you can. Like you never know what opportunity is going to take you to the next level.
Those are some really great words of wisdom. I appreciate your time. Really, your talent is just so bright. It's magnificent. The film is beautiful. It's such a
Thank you,
piece of
thank you.
art. Like, it's going to soar, and I can't wait to watch it soar from afar. And once it's live for everyone to watch, we are going to pump it on our socials. We're going to tell everybody about it. Please send your dad a big shout out from me. Thank you for your time. Drop your social media handles so people can also follow your career.
I
Where can we
will.
find you?
Thank you so much. This opportunity was amazing, and I hope to meet you in person at
Me too.
another film festival, hopefully.
Yeah, let's do it. And what's your social media? What's your Instagram for people to follow you?
My name is Dara Semra, so that's just my Facebook is where I usually promote, but my father is Johnny Quiet Man, and that's where he promotes a lot of the film festivals.
Awesome. Well, congrats. Bask in all the greatness. You deserve every moment of celebration. Again, sorry I couldn't see you live, but thank you for taking the time on a Sunday to chat with little old Rachel Lalo.
Of course. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
Awesome. All right, LOLero, stay tuned. There's a lot more show. This has been so great. I hope you're just as inspired as I am. Okay, stay tuned.
The Latinos Out Loud podcast.